Welcome to the Collide Podcast. We're a growing community of everyday chicks colliding with Jesus in our mess, our pain, our joy, and our stories. We value showing up as we truly are, so that's what you'll find here. Walls and masks being torn down so that we can allow Jesus to meet us where we truly are and hear about other women doing the same. We can't wait to collide with you. Welcome to the We Collide podcast. I'm Willow Weston, the founder and director of Collide, and today I'm so excited to bring to you what we have planned for this podcast. I've actually invited three of Collide's staffers who are moms to join us, and all three of these amazing women are in different parenting seasons. They range from having a toddler with a baby on the way, to having elementary school kids, to being an empty nester. And at Collide, we value so much learning from women who go before us. And so in this podcast, my hope is that each of these moms will share with you what she wished she knew before she entered her current parenting season, as well as sharing with you the one thing she would tell you before you might enter the same parenting season. I think learning from each other can actually set us up for success in the seasons ahead. And so I'm excited just to learn from these moms and then be able to translate all the way I learned from them into my own experience and season as a mom. And so my first guest is Kristen Behrens. Kristen is an amazing and valuable team member on the Collide staff. She is in charge of putting on all of our conferences and oversees our Collide ministry team. And she is someone I've known actually since she's been in college. So I've watched her walk through lots of seasons, but especially enjoyed watching her become a mom. And so Kristen, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast today. This is fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So help everyone kind of hear about your kid in the season of parenting that you find yourself in right now.
Yeah, I have an 18-month, year-and-a-half-year-old girl named Brooklyn. So she is super fun right now. We're entering a really fun stage of exploring and learning things together. She's into dance parties and all sorts of fun things. And we are getting ready to bring another little girl into our family. I'm 27 weeks pregnant right now. So it's super fun. We're really excited to have another little one join us. So yeah, that's kind of what we're going through.
Isn't Brooklyn also into basically that age where she pulls out all the drawers and takes everything out and throws it all over the place?
Yes, she's kind of figured out the childproof locks, or maybe I didn't put them on correctly. Who knows? But she's figured out how to open those up, and she loves the baking drawer and playing with the measuring cups. So,
oh my god, but love her so much. She blows kisses.
Yes, she blows kisses and waves and just learned to say the word no. So that has been fun.
Oh.
But so far it's a very kind no. Not aggressive yet. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, she's so funny. She loves her. We got her some baby dolls to prepare her for a new baby. So she's really into pretending to feed them with a bottle right now, which is good. We'll see how long that lasts, but so far, so good.
I hate to throw her under a bus, but I am her godmother, right?
You are, yes.
I can share stories, but Brian, your husband, posted the most hilarious picture on, I don't remember if it was Facebook or Instagram, but it was being super concerned about this sibling coming up with,
yes,
her baby. Can you tell?
Yes. That was about? Well, it was at Christmas, and that's when we got her this baby doll. That's when we announced that we were having another baby. And for some reason, she just really liked the sound of hitting the baby's head against the ground. So she would just walk around and every once in a while stop and slam the baby's head on the ground. So come past that a little bit. It flares up at times just when she remembers that it can make that sound. So we'll have to be careful in a few weeks here when we bring our new baby home.
Yeah, you're gonna have to be on the lookout.
Yes, she's busy. So, but hopefully,
can you let us in on, you know, you are 18 months, you said, into parenting, and you're about to add another one to the mix. What have been the most beautiful parts of being a mom, and also what have been the most challenging?
Yeah, you know, I think the most beautiful parts have really just been learning from her. I think I didn't really realize how much she would have to teach me, you know, and she's not trying to, but I think I've learned so much about myself, which has been really cool. I didn't expect that. And I think, of course, my patience has been tested and things like that. But I think it's been really beautiful to see how this little life that is just going about their day can actually teach me so much. So that's been really cool. And I think, you know, there's been many challenges in the same way, learning lots of things about myself that aren't the best, or, you know, seeing sides of me come out when I feel overwhelmed and emotional and feel like I'm losing my patience. That has been really hard and challenging. But I think the thing that I've learned in all that is that, like, it's okay to have those moments, and it doesn't mean that I'm failing as a mom. And I think that has been a challenging process to kind of realize and sit with, that it's okay. I'm not failing. There's moments where I definitely feel like it, but being able to sit in those and see the beauty in them has been really cool. I remember one night when she was really little and trying to figure out nursing, and it's the middle of the night and I'm holding her just crying, and like watching my tears fall on my baby's head just felt so horrible. But you know, looking back, I remember thinking, you know, pull yourself together. But it was actually a really sweet moment of both of us learning something new together, and not, like, looking back, realizing that wasn't a failing moment. That was the first of many times that we're going to need each other in different ways and learn from one another. So I think that was definitely a moment that sticks out as, you know, beautiful, but also challenging. And that has carried on now as she's a year and a half. We have those moments all the time where we need each other and we're learning together. So, yeah, I think that's...
I love how you merge beauty and challenges, and that really you're learning from her in both of those spaces.
Like, yeah.
I always call it, I'm being schooled by my kids. My kids taught me so much about God and about love and about life.
Yeah.
And I'm learning from them all the time. When you say that you're learning from her, that she's teaching you things, what do you think are some of the things that you are learning about God from her, learning about love, learning about life? Like, what are some of those?
Yeah, I think, I mean, one thing that I've struggled with kind of wrapping my mind around is that God loves her more than I do, or more than I can even imagine. And I think that's been humbling at times, kind of letting go when I've felt overwhelmed and fearful, or like I'm alone in it, actually believing that God loves my kids more than I could possibly imagine is comforting, but has also taught me a deeper sense of love, and also how God sees me, that the way that I'm trusting that he loves my kids, also realizing that I'm one of his kids too. And so when I'm feeling stuck and overwhelmed and emotional, that he sees me in that same way. And so allowing that to be comforting for me in each new phase that I enter, that as it's, you know, unknown, just not letting those moments get me down. It still happens, and it's challenging most of the time. But when I'm able to kind of get outside of that and look at that bigger picture of knowing that I'm not alone in it, and actually trusting that that he's with me, and that has been really comforting, and I've learned just a deeper sense of love in all of that.
You bring up something that is so profound for people who have this experience, which is when you have a child and you become a mom, this like crazy innate love comes over you. Like, people joke around about like, oh, watch out for mama bear, but man, it is so true. Like, there's a love that you have for your kid that, I mean, it's indescribable. Like, you don't mess with it. And the profound experience is when you realize how much you love that child, and then you think about how much God loves you, that he's our father, it really invites you into becoming a daughter of a father in a way that I never had until I was a mom.
Yeah. So it's definitely been a really cool and emotional process to have unfold over the last year and a half. And I'm very grateful for how it's kind of deepened my understanding of what a parent's love is like. So that's been really, really beautiful.
That's awesome. What do you wish, if you could have kind of, if you could return back to before you had your little one, before you had Brooklyn, what do you wish you would have known to be ready for the infant toddler stages?
I think a lot of people give advice, and there's advice that is really helpful. And I think I would have, thought or picked kind of those people that I trusted and were close to me, and kind of held their advice above the others. I think I felt really overwhelmed by everything everyone was telling me, having, you know, being a first-time mom. And I think people are very well-intentioned with what they say, but, you know, saying, oh, just you wait, your life's about to get crazy, enjoy your freedom now, you know, comments like that were, looking back, yes, they're true in a sense, but also I think I let a lot of people's comments really intimidate me, not going into something that was new and unknown and scary. I didn't really know what to do with all of it. So I think I would have filtered that a little bit differently. And I think I would have, I wish I would have known that the loneliness, in all of that, like is real. I think that was something that really surprised me, was how you can be with a human all day, but still feel, alone. And I think that was something that I just didn't really know how to cope with at first. And that's a hard thing to maybe explain to people. But I think I wish I would have maybe tried to prepare myself a little bit more for that time.
If If you could tell women who are heading into this parenting season of having an infant and a toddler, if you could tell them anything, what words of advice would you have?
I would say do your best to not compare yourself or your child to anyone else. And I think that is a lot easier said than done, especially in today's age where, you know, a lot of the perfectness of people's lives get posted. And so you see them, you see the perfect nurseries, you see the beautiful baby products that you can't afford, or and you're maybe looking at these pictures while you're sitting there with spit up all over you and you don't know the last time you showered. And so you can feel really down on yourself. And I think in all of that, like not comparing yourself and also being the encourager for other people, I think that can go a long way even in your own mental health of prioritizing encouraging other people rather than sitting in that comparison. And one of my favorite quotes that my husband and I say a lot is that comparison is truly the thief of joy. And I think in these moments of being a mom to these little ones, there are so many moments of joy in these stages. And so I would just encourage people to not let those moments of joy be taken away because you're sitting in comparison, and that can be in yourself or for your kids too. People, again, are well-intentioned by saying, you know, oh, how many words is she saying? Or, wow, she's so small. And those things can really get you down. But I think choosing moments of joy and choosing to encourage other people that you know are in it with you have been really helpful for me.
Kristen, as you look ahead to this new season coming up where you are going to have two kids, what are you excited about? What are you worried about?
I am excited to do this again, to go through this process of bringing a new baby home. I think it has really actually been in the last week for me that I've been really excited. I've been excited the whole time. I was so excited to be pregnant again. But I think it's been overwhelming and scary, and it really hasn't been until this last week that that I was like, oh my gosh, like we get to do this again. And even just thinking through the advice that I would give someone else or what I wish I would have known has helped me to process that this is gonna happen again.
What are you worried about as you look ahead to this next season?
A little worried about the feeling of loneliness. Again, I know what that felt like last time. And I think it's almost felt like, okay, a year and a half has gone by, and I sometimes feel like, okay, I'm finally coming out of this kind of foggy season, because sleep deprivation is a real thing and it does affect you. And so I think I'm intimidated to enter that again, knowing what it was like last time and knowing that it will be different this time, having two kids to be taken care of. So I think I'm a little worried about the loneliness, but one a song that has really actually it helped me last time, and so I'm trying to cling to that this time, is the song by Carrie Job that's it's I Am Not Alone. And that kind of was my anthem last time, just the moments when I felt really lonely. That song was like kept popping into my head over and over. So while I'm worried about that, I feel like I hopefully this time have some tools that I learned from last time on how to cling to Jesus in those moments. hopefully be able to realize that he's with me, and I'm not alone even in those moments of feeling, you know, all by myself.
Yeah, I think we can all resonate as moms with experiencing loneliness. When you say you have some tools on how to cling to Jesus, I'm wondering what some of those tools might be, but also what are some things you're going to put in place to make sure that you don't experience loneliness as much as the last time around?
You know, I think there is power being in it with other people. And so kind of like I said earlier, you know, finding those people in your life that you trust and can be fully honest with and saying, I'm having a really bad day. I'm feeling really lonely and I need someone to talk to. Even if you can't really articulate what it is, just knowing that you have those people to turn to, I think I will pursue that sooner than I did last time. I think there's a lot of resources out there that are helpful. I really struggled with figuring out how to nurse Brooklyn at first, and I waited a long time to get help for that, and I wish I just would have done it the first time that I was struggling. So I think I had maybe the sense of pride that I can do it on my own. And I think realizing that I can't, it doesn't have to be all on my shoulders. I don't have to be perfect and get it right the first time. But actually knowing that there's resources out there that are helpful, and going after those, not being ashamed that I need help.
Yeah, asking for help is okay. That's completely true. Hey, how are you going to look to those who have gone before you, who have already lived through the parenting season you're about to enter? How are you going to look for women mentors in your life to help you as you navigate this new season ahead?
I mean, I'm definitely in a unique position, especially working for Collide. I feel like I'm so fortunate to have so many moms around me that have done this before. And you have been one of those people for me that has been such a gift that I think I look around and look at, okay, like what kind of mom do I want to be? Like, what do I see other people doing? What are the relationships that I see that they have with their kids that I want to learn how to do? And so I think it was, I just kind of at certain moments sit there and have thought, who do I look up to and who do I admire, and being brave in asking, like, hey, can I talk to you? Or can I, what did you do when you entered this season? I think not being afraid to be bold and ask. And I think I've felt really touched when people have reached out and asked me questions. So I think it actually goes a long way for people. You might feel embarrassed or scared to ask someone, but I think people welcome being asked questions. I think that's been super helpful for me, is just sitting and thinking through who are the people that I look up to that I want to learn from.
I love that you're posing that question for all of us to ask. Who do I look up to that I can learn from? That's such a good question to first ask, then answer, and then go seek them out. I think one of the most empowering moments for me as a mom was when I realized none of us know what we're doing. None of us do. And as soon as I realized that, instead of comparing myself to other people who are making it look like they know what they're doing and I'm just the only one who doesn't, I did start asking myself the question that you just posed, who do I look up to? And got brave and vulnerable enough to ask them to come over and have coffee or meet them at their house or whatever. And just, I have for years met with women who I consider mentors. It's not in any formal relationship, but just being able to say, hey, how are you navigating this? How did you walk through this? What did you do when this happened? And I have learned so much and gained so much wisdom from these older women moms. And if I could encourage anyone listening to do that, that is my best encouragement. But Kristen, I love that you are starting to do that for new moms and that they're coming to you and seeking you for wisdom. And I know that I have loved walking alongside you every minute of being a mom and watching your journey unfold. It is a true blessing. And I'm so grateful that you hopped on the podcast and shared some of your wisdom today. And my next guest is Anna Cuddle. And Anna Cuddle was Collide's first staffer, and she came on, and we've been working together for 5 years, and she is so valuable to our team. She means so much to us, and it has been a joy to work with her and also to co-mom and walk alongside her and share stories and prayers and just learn as we journey this beautiful but challenging season and experience as moms. And so, Anna, thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here and chat with you about being a mom and the craziness that comes with that.
Yeah, totally. It is crazy. Tell us a little bit about your kids and the season of parenting that you're in right now, Anna.
Well, I have two young boys. They are age 8 and 10, almost 11. Dean is 8, and he's in second grade, and Elliot is in fifth. They're a little over 2 years apart in age, but 3 years apart in school, and they are just the most delightful little human beings. Yeah, they to know them is to love them, but they come along with... Plenty of challenges. They feel big.
I love how you put that. They feel big and they think
yeah,
big.
They're a lot.
Put that out for a second. What does that look like in your daily life? They feel big and they think big.
They have always just naturally had big reactions to things from the time they were very small, you know, positively and negatively. Elliot, my fifth grader, he was always just a huge smiley baby. Like, that's how he engaged. They both did this. They would engage with strangers at the grocery store by like leaning to the side and like big smiles. So when I would encounter babies that didn't show big feeling, it was kind of like, oh, do they not like me? No, they just don't move their face in a big wide grin. but in our life today, that means, you know, they get really excited about things, but they also get really frustrated or really upset. They feel big. So there's a lot of energy in our house that they sort of set the tone for the emotional level of the house. So that can be good, but that can also be really challenging. So trying to focus on the positive sides of that is good, but it's also, it's hard to be around so much bigness, because it's kind of at times unavoidable.
I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking it can be so exhausting, and it can also feel like we're riding the roller coaster of our children's emotions. Do you ever feel like that?
Yes. Like I'm assuming most moms feel this way, but like if your kid is feeling something, it's almost like you are experiencing it alongside them. And of course, I don't know any different than my own experience. But one thing that's interesting about me is my mom told me once that from the time I was small, even in utero, loud noises startled me. They kind of just, they made me freak out. And like someone would ring the doorbell when she was pregnant with me and I would jump. And I'm still like that. So like loud noises, but that equates to like, when I'm around big feelings or yelling or strong emoting, it's this sort of like visceral, like I want to be respectful of the big feeling, but also like, let's get it under control. Yeah.
That's so funny. I'm laughing over here wondering how we can be friends.
I think we already are.
Right. But I think my presence might startle someone like you. But that's
the same. Oh, I'm used to it.
What would you say have been the most beautiful and then also the most challenging parts of being a mom with kids in this season of elementary school age range?
Yeah, I would say a lot of what I'm experiencing right now, or this stage, is what I call the in-between stage. They're not little kids anymore. You know, they're not toddlers, but they're not tweens. They're this sort of sweet in-between time. And that's part of the goodness. You know, my 10-year-old, he still tells me a million times a day he loves me. He's like a walking hug. He's just so sweet. And I don't assume or know if that'll go away, or I think it will lessen, certainly, and that's just part of a healthy relationship of a boy growing up. But right now it's just this really sweet kid phase, and they have growing independence. You know, it's just so fun to see kids learn to read and ride a bike and ski, and taking kind of them seeing areas that they're interested in and their little talents and interests growing. And they have just the greatest senses of humor. My husband and I are, as you know, Willow, we're sarcastic and we like to think we're funny, but it's been fun seeing, especially Elliot, our 10-year-old, his sense of humor is developing, and like his laugh is changing, and it's just sort of clicking. And they've always had a personality, but it's just really a gift to see their personalities grow. And Dean, our second grader, he's sort of like, you know, the little packs you put in your cleaning packs you put in your washing machine. They're like 2 inches by 1 inches, and they're like highly concentrated, but somehow they wash a whole load of laundry. Well, Dean's personality is like that. He is just the most compact, highly concentrated, redheaded, passionate person you've ever met. And Willow's laughing because she knows him.
He's amazing.
he's passionate. That's my word for it. And just they have fully formed thoughts and opinions. And this week they both spent some time FaceTiming friends, and I gave them privacy, but also was, you know, hearing bits and pieces. And just the conversations they're having are just as important as any conversation I have with friends or peers or coworkers. It's just really special to see. I'd say the challenging parts are, it's pretty easy in this phase of life to look back at the previous stage and sort of long for the simplicity, or what now feels like simplicity looking back, when at the time it felt far from simple. So I don't say that to diminish the challenge of the previous stage, because it was very much challenging, just in very different ways. So that's, in the current circumstance, it's easy to sort of longingly look back. I would say seeing my kids experience heartache, like kind of real heartache for the first time, and not that toddlers and babies don't have heartache and don't get upset and sad, they do all the time, but it's more ridiculous things, like, you know, you gave me a graham cracker and you broke it in half and I wanted the whole piece and now you ruined my life, you know, like a 2-year-old screaming at you about that, versus, you know, your son coming home and saying, I have no friends when I cry on the playground, like no one comes and hugs me. So it's a different kind of heartache. It's a more grown up, like, yes, feeling real things, and you can't go and get a whole graham cracker and break, you know, replace the broken one. It's kind of walking alongside them in those heartaches.
You know, Anna, it's so funny how you're putting that. I love how you're putting it. And it's so true. You use the graham cracker illustration, and it feels like the older my kids get, the more I look back, and it feels like the problems were smaller, or they didn't hurt as bad. Almost like the problems were more in our control. And I know that's not true for everyone. Some people have babies and toddlers who are very sick. That's not in their control. But when I look back to my experience, the problems, when my kids have problems now, they break my heart so much more than they did when they were younger. And then I look ahead at these moms who are empty nesters, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, some of the stuff that they have to walk through and watch their kids walk through, it's heartbreaking. So it does feel like the challenges when they come, maybe they're less every day. Like, you know, you're not potty training and dealing with, you know, Aiden used to poop at his, the door area of his room and be super proud because the doorway.
Yeah, I don't miss that.
And I don't have to like clean up poop and he's not peeing in my face. But when there are issues, they're heartbreaking.
Yeah. And I would say one of the challenges now is that grew, you know, that wasn't necessarily there when my kids were younger, is I mentally, I just feel like I'm always on. I'm always in problem solving mode. And part of that is my personality. I'm proactive. I'm a problem solver. If there's a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Like I want to address the thing that is wrong. And as they get older, that gets harder and harder and harder. And there's fewer direct answers. There's fewer graham crackers to hand them. Yeah. Like you said, it gets more challenging and kind of morphs.
What do you wish if you could go back to kind of pre-elementary, right before you were going to enter this season of, you know, kindergarten to fifth grade, this in-between season, as you call it, what do you wish that you would have known to be ready for this stage?
I think, and this started maybe a few years ago, but when you're parenting younger kids and you're dealing with so many immediate issues and behavioral issues and physically intervening so much, and there's so much teaching, it feels really overwhelming. And I realized, and oftentimes we don't realize things until well after the fact or days, months, or years into something being different, that this is the case. But sort of those years of effort, the time putting in baby, toddler, preschool age leading up to this time, it's starting to pay off. Like there's things we can do now that it's like, you know, last summer we went on a road trip with the boys when they were 7 and 10, and just the things we get to do now, looking back, like there are things we did when they were younger that were just so physically difficult or just behavior wise we couldn't do because of where they were at. So I guess I wish I knew to be more patient and to trust that the effort I'm putting in now, it will take years to pay off. But, and this is me talking to myself now, looking ahead into middle school and high school, like there's things I'm, foundations we as parents are laying down now that we might not see the efforts or the payoff for years to come, but kind of trusting that what we're doing now will pay off. I'd say another thing I wish I knew is that when kids are babies and toddlers, I think it's really easy to feel lonely. Just you are actually alone with a small person or small people all the time, especially if you stay at home or work part-time. It's easy to feel lonely because you're not around other people. And I would say in this phase, there is loneliness, but it looks different. I'm definitely busy. I see people, but it's more of a loneliness of circumstance. Like as kids get older, the things that are challenging get really diverse. So it's easy to feel like, well, I'm quite certain I don't know anyone who has my specific circumstance, and everyone can feel that way. But the combination of challenges and celebrations is so unique that it's easy to feel like, well, I'm all alone in this. Surely no one else can know what this is like. So I think that sort of shift in the kind of loneliness that can come during this phase. And then lastly, I would say the things to worry about just sort of grows exponentially, or it can. When they're small, you're dealing with more immediate needs. And so I think in this phase, I almost need to constantly remind myself or have others remind me to continue to surrender those challenging things to God. And no, I don't have to, quote, fix everything. I don't have to be the ever-present problem solver, because I can't. So I wish I had known to be prepared for a more constant surrender of control, because there is a growing number of things that are out of my control and out of our control as parents.
I love all of the things you just shared. I feel like letting us know as parents that it pays off, and to remember that, to note it, and to note that all the work that we do today will pay off tomorrow. That's such a hopeful word. And I also like the reality that you're inviting us into, that the loneliness that we might experience as parents doesn't necessarily go away in seasons, but it just shifts. And I think knowing that and hearing another mom say it invites us into recognizing we're not the only ones, which is really, that can be a empowering thing to know. And then, you know, your call for us to continually surrender all our worries to God is such a good one. I know that, you know, before you know it, Anna, you're going to move into a completely new stage of parenting. Pretty soon you'll be in the stage I'm in, which is parenting high schoolers. It'll be here before you know it. You'll move into middle school first. What are you excited about, and what are you worried about as you look ahead to the next parenting season you'll be in?
Well, the next phase, I would say, for at least one of our boys, we have a fifth grader, so next year is middle school for him. And I think we're excited to see him take next steps and kind of into finding his things, his passions, his hobbies. Right now, a lot of life is play. Like, they still very much play, but seeing him have access to more interests and kind of have those grow, I think that's going to be fun to see. Forming, you know, new friendships and new social circles. My husband and I both went to elementary school, you know, or had school experiences where we didn't, you know, everyone we went to school with, we just kept going to school with. You know, when we finished elementary school, we all just went to the next building over and started middle school. So this will be a new experience for us through our kids, in that they are going to be leaving certain friends behind, or, you know, not that those friendships will necessarily end, but they will be different, and some might end because they are not physically going to the same school anymore. So that's sort of a lead into one of the challenges is, you know, changing peer groups, social media, technology. You know, obviously I was a middle schooler. I can relate to the things that are universally hard about being a middle schooler, but I was not a middle schooler with a Facebook account. Social media didn't exist until I was an adult. So that's a new concern for us, just in terms of our family dynamic. Sibling relationship might change. You know, they right now very much have the same interests. They're each other's best friend. So concerned that that will change and look different. The growing up part. Like, you know, right now we've got a kid who both believes in Santa and knows what sex is. So it's this weird in between time. And
that's hilarious. Oh my gosh. Talk about a difference.
Right.
Oh goodness. Hey, Anna, as you think about navigating new territory, how important is it going to be for you to look to those who've gone before you and kind of learn from other moms who are in the season ahead of you to help you navigate all this?
I think I would say that what I have really found value in this season is being really purposeful about seeking community. And I would say the kinds of women I've really valued having in my life are what I call the trifecta. there's three things that they have in common. They know me really well. So, you know, before I had kids, when I had kids, they know my story, my heart, what I value, what I struggle with. Second, they know my kids and they love them. They understand who they are as little people. They have the ability to look past their challenges and see who they are, because I think in this stage, it's really easy, especially if you have challenging kids. That's what you see, because that's sort of what's reflected back to you by the world. That's parent-teacher conferences. That's appointments. It's easy to see the ramifications of the hard stuff. But if you have people in your life who know your kid and get your kid, that is so affirming as a mom and a parent. And lastly, and most importantly, that this person know God and they love God and they can speak truth and encouragement to you. To me, that has been having a core group of people that have those qualities. And community in this stage, it looks different than it did with little kids. Like when they were little, there were coffee play dates, and now it's, you know, text with friends who have those three qualities and saying, help, I've had an awful day. Can you pray for me? It's a lot of purposefully seeking out community in any way that you can. And that's been really valuable to me. And it's not even for me necessarily age-based. I mean, I do have people I'm close with who have older kids, and it's been helpful to see how they've navigated certain circumstances. But I think it really takes being purposeful in a way that I didn't have to do when my kids were younger, especially in this phase where most women are kind of in their lane and they're doing their thing. They're back at work. They've got kids. They've got struggles. So it's being really purposeful about carving out time and ways and avenues to have those touch points to get encouragement is what I found to be helpful.
Yeah, that's such a good challenge for all of us. It does take a true intentionality to do that because we have so much we're juggling. So we have to kind of seek it out. And I love that you do that. I see you doing that. And it's so admirable to see you be so intentional in your parenting. You are hilarious. Good luck with having two kids who one believes in Santa and the other knows about sex. God be with you. You will have to keep surrendering to him, but you have amazing boys. I love your family, and I'm so grateful that you shared some of your wisdom on the podcast today, Anna.
Well, thank you so much. I hope it brings encouragement to those who hear it.
I'm super excited to have the last guest on, who is a Clyde staffer, Michelle Holliday. And Michelle is in a completely different season of parenting than both Kristen and Anna. Michelle, thanks for hanging out with me on the podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about your kids and the season of parenting that you're in right now?
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. So I have two kids. I have a son, Nathan, who's 22, and he's away at grad school. And then I have a daughter, Rachel, who is 18, and she's a freshman in college.
Holy cow. So you are an empty nester.
Yes.
I feel like that word scares people. The idea of becoming an empty nester scares moms everywhere.
It is a little scary. It's just such a shift for so many years. You have these kids in your home and then all of a sudden they're gone and everything has changed.
Yeah. What did you do to prepare your heart for that season? Because I'm a few years away from being an empty nester, although my oldest will leave in a year and I'm already starting to prepare my heart. Were you afraid of the idea of being an empty nester? Did you have a sense that you'd be fine? Were you anxious? Did you cry when they left? What did that look like for you?
It honestly took me by surprise because I think I thought I was prepared for it. And when they were finally gone, it really took me by surprise how sad I was. So I don't think I prepared very well, but I thought I had.
Yeah. And how did that sadness come out? Were you just feeling lonely, like you missed them? Were you kind of I mean, I've heard from other empty nesters that they kind of made friends with all these moms alongside, you know, the sports sidelines and volunteering at schools. And then all of that was gone. And they kind of wondered who their friends were. Was it you're missing your kids or missing all that also their lives brought to your life?
I think that what I hadn't realized was how much I had placed my identity in being a mom. And I don't know that that was necessarily a healthy thing, but that was how I identified myself. And I loved identifying myself as their mom. And so suddenly, once they were gone, I wasn't quite sure who I was anymore. I mean, I had all of these other things in my life, but the main piece of who I was being a mom. And suddenly, not that I'm not still a mom, but I didn't have that daily role anymore. And I wasn't quite sure who I was.
What do you wish you would have known to be ready for the empty nest stage?
I think I would have known that part of it, how much my identity would be challenged. And I think I also would have known how much fun it could be. I mean, it's fun to just be in my house with my husband and not have to worry about making dinner for the whole family. And if we want to go out and spend our night at dinner, we can go do that. We don't have to worry about anyone else. So I kind of wish I would have been more prepared for the fun part of it too.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't talk about the fun part. I feel like I have this picture of like myself driving around in my car, like every night at 4 o'clock when I normally carpool, just like crying and listening to like 90s melancholy music or something, because everyone just makes the empty nest season sound terrible.
Now, see, now you can go to happy hour at 4 now.
Well, yeah, it's almost like they make it sound like it's so great and it's so hard, and then they leave the house and then you're depressed. But being a grandma's awesome. It yeah. almost is like they describe this like experience where the empty nester life is like your most terrible years of your life. And I love that you're sort of inviting us into, no, there's actually some really great fun things about this season too. How has it changed your relationship with your kids? What are the beautiful things that have come out of them being these young adults and they're learning their own things and probably relating to you in new ways? And how has that changed your relationship with them?
Yeah, I think it's such a beautiful thing to be able to make that shift in that relationship to more of an adversarial kind of relationship. I mean, these kids are smart and they're innovative and they have thoughts that I don't have. And so they challenge me every day. They make me think of things in a way that I don't normally think of them. They question me. They explain things to me that maybe I don't understand from their point of view. And that's such a cool little thing. I was thinking the other day, like, how much of a chance does a 40 or 50 year old woman have to hang out with 20 year olds? Doesn't really happen in my normal world that often, but here I've got these people in my life who've been in my life for a long time that I have a relationship with that I can question them and they can question me, and they're in that generation that I want to understand more.
That's awesome. If you could tell women who are listening who are kind of heading into this parenting season that you're talking about, empty nesting, if you could tell them any words of advice, what would you say?
I would say to be patient with yourself, because it is a big shift and there are a lot of challenges that come along with it. I mean, you have these adult kids who suddenly start making decisions that maybe you don't necessarily agree with, or maybe it's not the decision you would make for them. And you suddenly have no control, not that you really had control before, but you have way less control than you thought you did. And so that can be kind of hard to navigate. So I would just say, be patient with yourself. You're not always going to get it right. You're not always going to say the right things. And you're going to be hard on yourself at times. So that would be my biggest piece of advice. And also, don't play the blame game. If your kids make some of those decisions that you don't agree with, it's so easy to go into that space of, you know, what did I do wrong? What did I not teach them? And you just can't play that game, because that doesn't get you anywhere.
You know, speaking of that, because as I said, I'm kind of gearing up for this season that you're now in, but you're ahead of me. And I think there's this pressure that we almost feel like when our kids leave the nest, that somehow we will have imparted all things to them and they will have picked it up. And I'm already feeling like the looming pressure around that somehow I feel like I have so much I have to impart in the next year. And oh my gosh, what if my son doesn't understand this? What if, you know, he doesn't fully grasp his faith as his own? What if he doesn't get that he needs to be a good roommate and do the dishes? Like, there's just all these things that you hope your kid will know before they fly the nest. How did you deal with being patient with yourself and recognizing that you don't have all those things in your control and that your kids have to fly the nest and learn their own lessons?
You know, one of the things I feel like I did right with my kids is that from the time they were young until the time they graduated, I kept a journal where I wrote letters to them all throughout their life. One of the last letters I wrote to Rachel, I said to her, I'm not going to tell you that I did the best I could, because I know that there were times that I didn't, but that I did what I did, and I love you, and I never stopped loving you, and we will have to deal with what I did right and what I did wrong, and that's okay. And I think writing those words was such a freeing thing to me, to realize that I may not have done everything right, but I know that I loved them, and I know that I cherished them, and I maybe didn't do the best that I could all of the time, but it's okay. We don't always do the best that we can. And we've learned to deal with what we did, and it's okay.
I love that you can look back though and say, and rest in saying, I never stopped loving you. I always loved you. And I think we all want to be able to say that. And that's cool that you wrote those letters. I love that. What's the next parenting stage ahead for you?
Oh boy. I don't know. I mean, this is all still kind of new. I guess at some point I'll become a grandma, and I hear that's super fun. So I don't know. I think that's a ways down the way, I hope. So
yeah. Yeah. When you look back and you think, you know, you have these young adults and you look back as a mom, what has been the most beautiful and the most challenging parts of being a mom?
Oh, I think, most beautiful has just been the unconditional love. I mean, when they're little and they just come up and give you those tight, tight hugs, and it's just, that's such a cool feeling that I always just remember. And then the most challenging thing has probably been just what I mentioned earlier, the control thing. I like to control things. And so when I can't control them, that's really hard for me.
Mm-hmm. When you look ahead, what are you most excited about being a mom, and what do you worry about?
I'm most excited about seeing how they learn and grow. I mean, it's exciting for me right now because they're both in school, and so they have these futures ahead of them, and so it's exciting to me to think about what they'll do with their lives and where that will take them. I think I worry, you know, all of the things that moms worry about. You know, you don't stop worrying about the car accidents and the illnesses and, you know, who they're going to marry and where they're going to live. All of those things I still worry about.
It's interesting because those are such bigger problems than what I used to worry about when my kids were two, right? I mean, sure, you worry about sickness and stuff, but the consequences to choices are so much bigger when your kids get older. And I've learned that over the years as well.
Yeah, that is true. I think that is a harder thing, is that someone said bigger kids, bigger problems, which I don't know if it's necessarily that it's bigger problems, but just like you said, I mean, there's bigger consequences most of the time to the problems.
Michelle, you have been such a cheerleader for, you know, you've led our mentoring program, and our mentoring program is made up of older women in the faith investing and pouring into younger women in the faith and co-learning about life and all its seasons. And we've seen beautiful life change come out of that program that you've led. And so I know that you believe to your core that mentoring relationships are so important. How are you looking to those who've gone before you to help you as you navigate this new parenting season of being an empty nester?
I think I have always tried to look to other moms who were doing it well and and observe them and see how they, how they're doing it, and ask questions. Like, I will watch in something that they do with their kids, and I'll ask them, why did you handle that that way? What were some of the thoughts going through your head? What do you expect is going to happen out of that? I've always asked a lot of questions out of the people that I think are good moms.
Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Do you just call them up and say, hey, want to get coffee? Do you just talk to them on the phone? Are you, you know, calling like your grandma? What does that look like for you to find those people in your life that you can seek mom advice from?
I think a lot of it is just, you know, developing relationships with people. And I think anytime you tell someone what you observe in them, they're going to be more willing to share with you. I mean, if someone came up to me and said, hey, I noticed that you're a really good mom, I'm going to be like, wow, really? And if they start asking me questions, I tell them whatever they wanted to know.
Yeah. So you just kind of spy moms that you admire and then and ask them questions mm-hmm. and invite them into your life mm-hmm. and they say yes. That's
all. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When you think back to different women who served as mentors, if you will, mom mentors in your life, what are some of the best parenting advice you've ever been given?
I think one of the best pieces of advice I got was from a woman who lived across the street from me, and she had kids that were just a little bit older than me, and she was one of those moms that I just really admired. And she told me one time to enter into their world, and what she meant by that was listen to the music they listen to. Pay attention to the books they're reading, pay attention to their culture. Like, you know, with all the social media, that stuff changes so quickly. And she just, her advice was just to be in touch with what's going on in their world.
I guess I'm going to have to start doing TikTok dancing.
I know you're going to start dancing now.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. I think about, I have a woman that I often have met with over the years. I just admire how she parents so much. And when I've been really concerned about my kids, we'll get coffee. And I remember one time I was sitting across from her, her name's Pam, and I was sharing a major concern I had about my son. This is a lot of years ago. And she listened and heard me out. And then she asked me, she said, does your son seem concerned about these things? And it kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I realized, oh, no, not really. And she said, let your children lead. And I thought that was so interesting. And then she expanded on it and basically was inviting me. I think as moms, we can fret and worry in all stages and seasons of our kids' lives, right? When they're two, when they're 10, when they're, you know, 22, for all different reasons. And we worry and we play out the hypotheticals and we look down the road because we can see further down it because we've walked it than they have and all those things. And my mentor, Pam, said, let your child lead. If your child doesn't seem concerned about what's going on socially in their life, then they're probably okay. And, you know, I think a lot of times we project our worries onto our own kids when truly, like, they're doing okay in a lot of ways that we work
for. Oh, absolutely.
But I share that because I love that you and I have been able to learn from these women mentors along the way. And it almost feels to me like when I get a piece of advice from a mom who has gone before me, it's almost like when I think about marathon running. Of course, I've never ran a marathon, but I did train for a half marathon. I remember my husband and I trained, and we used to push the double stroller with both our kids. And we got, you know, to, I don't know, mile 4 or mile 7 or whatever, and we downed this stuff called goo, which is just basically the stuff that gives you fuel to keep running, to keep going. And I feel like wisdom's like that, just to get a little bit of wisdom from another woman who has been down the path maybe a few miles ahead of us and gain some of her wisdom is just like goo to keep going, to keep having the energy and the inspiration to go, we're going to make it, we're going to be okay, and helps you mm-hmm. sort of navigate the path.
Yeah. And I think we sometimes make things more of a deal than they are. So I love that your friend told you that, you know, is it concerning your kid? Because yeah, sometimes we can make things a bigger deal than they need to be.
So true. Well, Michelle, I am so grateful that you hopped on just for a few minutes today to share a little bit about what you've learned in parenting. And I think you're such an amazing mom. And it's so cool to be able to watch you as you lead the empty nester way for me. And I love that we've been able to have this conversation with all of these moms who've joined us. And moms, I know you're out there and I know you're in all different seasons of life. And there are days that feel so rewarding and so beautiful and so fun. And there are days and moments and hours that feel exhausting and hard to navigate and even sometimes scary. And so we want you to know that we're right here with you, walking alongside you, and we want Collide and the Collide community to be a space where you can find other sojourners, other moms to do mom life with. And so make sure you check us out on Facebook, join our Collide community, and encourage each other as you best navigate how to do this mom thing well. And in the meantime, keep colliding, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram at we.collide, on Facebook as at WeCollideWomen, and you can also visit our website at wecollide.net to find our blog, resources, event information, and more. One last thing. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a few seconds and leave us a review? It seems like such a small act, but reviews help us to keep producing this content and help other women find it too. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode and letting us walk with you as you seek and collide with Jesus.